City Talk 105.9 official podcast online at citytalk.fm. City Talk 105.9. Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks.
This is a man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing.
It is Bloke Talk, and it's the voice of Liverpool, City Talk 105.9. Thank you very much for tuning in to this at the weekend, or maybe downloading it. I have to be honest with you, this weekend there's a sense here on Bloke Talk of a little bit of... There's a good vibe going on, a sense of bonhomie, because the usual suspects, we're back as a trio after much disruption.
Hooray!
Over the past several weeks, because last week, Laura, it was you and I.
Yep.
And we managed to get through about a massive argument. And I've lost track of how many changes we've had. We had that funny bloke from Hollyoaks who came in for a bit, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Jim, Jeff, Roger, Simon, Dave.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot,
Barry.
Now.
Anyway, and Toby went away to Las Vegas for a bit. You know, so there's loads of things to talk about, but we're back. The usual suspects are here for Bloke Talk. I'm Duncan.
First time in 7 weeks.
Laura's here. Yeah,
seven
I think it must
weeks?
Be seven weeks.
And you missed out on the curry as well.
I was gutted.
Oh, yeah, you weren't here for that.
I was absolutely devastated.
Have you seen the pictures on the website yet?
I have, and I've
how gutted are you?
I've even listened back to the show on the podcast.
Yeah, well, what was the thing that you missed the most? Because for those people who don't know, Bloke Talk went for a curry. It was the week that you weren't well.
I was really ill.
You were really ill, weren't you?
Really ill. Yes.
Really ill.
Yes.
No, I'm being serious. I'm not suggesting that, you know, I'm just really ill because I heard how ill you were.
Yeah. He actually was really
ill. You were really ill. So Laura and I did it. We went to a Sanam. We went for a curry. And you missed out on all of that.
I did.
Yeah.
But
did you, you
missed
listen
out
back
on
to
a
it?
Trip
which,
to Vegas.
Which bit did you miss out on most?
Was it
the making the vindaloo?
I actually, do you know what? I'd have probably quite enjoyed not being the one in the kitchen cooking it, but just trying all your food.
Yeah.
I think you would have been quite good at tasting the hot ones.
Yeah,
I think you could handle that.
I like my hot food.
Well, the blindfold thing we did.
And I'd have loved to have had a go at naan bread making. Yeah, really would.
That was great. Laura was very good at that.
Yeah, I believe so. And you were a bit pathetic.
He wimped out.
I wimped out. Only because I was scared of this oven. I'm not happy to admit it. You know, I put my hands in the air. This thing was just like... I never want to see.
600 degrees.
I never want to see anything like that until I'm cremated. It was just not pleasant. It was not good. And Laura was just like, oh, yeah, get your hand in. I was going, what the hell are you doing? Because my bread had a hole in it.
Well, that's a good example of actually sometimes when women are a lot braver than men.
Yeah.
I'd have done that.
Well, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You can't say it until you're actually there.
Anyway,
at the
you weren't there because you were.
I think the phrase you're looking for is the proof is in the cooking.
You were really ill, weren't you? That's why you weren't.
I was really ill.
Really ill.
Yeah.
Is it worth us just exploring how ill you were?
We've
is there anything we can laugh
that.
At?
We explored that on the show with Stephen Weaver when he came in.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But
Laura wasn't here.
Yeah,
it has
Laura
moved around
here.
A bit, hasn't
and
it?
We had Roy the following week,
that's
didn't
right.
we?
Yeah,
again,
yeah. We have talked about how really ill you were.
Was it nice to have three blokes, or did you miss the feminine touch?
It was different. It actually felt different, different, didn't it?
The dynamic changes.
Yeah,
it does. You know, and
I'm amazed that you two are still alive after a week when I wasn't here to mediate.
Yeah,
I have to say, you two together.
Yeah,
I was a bit scared when I heard about that.
We were quite well,
mediation.
But I can't even remember what we talked about.
We were talking about Christmas.
Yeah,
it was all very lots of goodwill.
Amicable.
Yeah, it was all right.
It's when you're here.
Yeah.
You're the one that
stir it
caught,
up.
Yeah.
You're a snapping young pup. So, have we talked to you about Vegas? We have, haven't we?
We've done that.
I'll tell you what we haven't talked about, though, that we talked about it a lot in your absence, is, and I don't know the answer to this, and I could be going into territory now that could be a little bit dangerous. PP?
Yes.
Still going well?
Still going well.
The relationship
Absolutely.
Is blooming?
It's going very well, yeah. We're very happy.
How many weeks
I'm happy
in?
Anyway,
how many weeks in?
It's actually going to be 3 months in a couple of days' time.
That's almost like an anniversary.
Do you think?
You
see, I've been wondering about that.
Ask Laura if you should
do
something about it.
3 months?
That's significant, isn't it?
No, it's not significant.
Why not? For those people who don't know, PP is Toby's current squeeze. So 3 months. When is it significant?
6 months, obviously.
6 months.
6 months is...
Yeah.
Why
not 3 months?
A quarter of a year.
Yeah.
No, 6 months is the significant
not
one.
Not 3 months, like, because it's the first. Obviously not
like a year.
If you
like want to do something
three
for 3 months, do it, but don't make it too elaborate or you'll look like a psycho.
What could he do? Good advice. What could he do? What is a nice gesture but not too
for
OTT?
3 months, yeah. Well,
go for a meal.
Right.
That means taking her out, Toby, for something to
yeah,
eat.
Yeah, just go for a nice meal. Not an expensive, swanky meal, but, yeah. You know, a mid-range, just a nice meal.
Like Pizza Hut.
Well,
Pizza.
Well, I'm not going to say anything about any certain brand, but yeah, just a nice
Bella
meal.
Bella Vista.
Well,
Bella Italia.
Yeah. A nice medium meal.
Anyway, or any restaurant you want. There's loads in Liverpool. Right. Take your pick. Right.
So the advice is 3 months
go
into
for
the
a
relationship,
meal, just
Toby.
Just talk about it.
Yeah.
Don't card.
Oh, what? Not a card after
oh,
3 months.
I'm a psycho.
Listen to the advice. Right. You've got a woman
cards.
Here. Take advantage
card
of it. A card.
Months.
What
no.
card are you going to send her after 3 months?
No.
Oh, here's to a happy 12 weeks. Here's to 12 more.
Well, Dave's never given me a card on an anniversary, but maybe you could give one after a year.
Does he know when your anniversary is?
No, I have to tell him.
Exactly, because men are very bad, unless it's a wedding anniversary.
I have to say, I got told about our anniversary date. I didn't really.
Well, they note it down in a little diary.
Yeah, I've actually still got the text she sent me, and I'm keeping it.
And is that, when you set the anniversary date, is it the first time you went out on a date or
no,
what? What's
no,
the kind of
it's
trigger?
It's actually the day that we officially became boyfriend and girlfriend.
Well, how on earth does that work?
Well, I asked her.
What did you say? Will you be my girlfriend?
I think I did, something like that.
Oh, and
yeah,
then you went
I
off
said...
to get the milk from the milk monitor.
What?
Will you be my girlfriend?
I like you lots and lots and lots.
Honestly, is this just bash Toby day?
No, but yay. I'm going. Well, that's quite, it's quite I'm sweet, leaving. Actually. I like that. Did you actually say, would you be my girlfriend?
Yeah.
Oh, did you blush?
Probably.
Oh, fantastic.
I do blush at things like that.
It's interesting, though, nowadays, though, when are you official?
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you have a conversation?
I don't think I think I sort of said that. I said, you know, like I don't really know if we are, but I'd like us to be.
Because I would have thought
officially my girlfriend. Yeah.
The anniversary date, because that's quite different. Surely, Laura, the anniversary date is when you first went out on a kind of date, isn't it?
No, I think it's when you got together properly.
Got
as boyfriend.
The thing is that the
but
first,
how do people know? Because Toby's rare we went, by saying, "Would you be my girlfriend?"
Yeah, it's a difficult one. But the first time we went out on a date,
yeah.
Only I thought it was a date.
Right.
I had designs and she didn't realise this. And it was friendly at the time and it ended as just sort of, I think she still
You didn't
thought,
get the snog at the end of it.
No, she
so
still thought
really
that
date,
I was,
was
I was sort of being just friendly.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the second time we had a bit of a kiss at the end of the
nice.
Night.
Nice. And that was when you, is that when you said, will you be my girlfriend?
No, I said that a week or two later.
Right.
Yeah, after a few
so
more.
So you basically entrapped her. By taking her out as a friend.
No, I didn't entrap her. I seduced her. It's far very different.
And she's younger than you.
Word.
You're on
she's
thin
not
ice.
Much
mate.
Younger than me.
Well,
she's
thin
younger
ice.
Than me by like 4 months.
Not the point. You're the responsible adult in the
oh,
relationship.
Oh, for goodness' sake! I tell you what, she'd probably beg to differ.
All right. So we can nail this down because this. I think this is quite a fair blokey issue. 3 months in, 12 weeks in.
Yeah.
Laura makes a good point. Nothing too heavy, because you would come across as a bit of a psycho,
right.
Bit of a stalker, but a little gesture. So maybe, you know, a nice little pizza and a glass of wine somewhere.
Okay, I can do that.
That's nice, but no card.
Is it better to take her out than to home-cook meal?
Oh, good question.
Well, I think you probably do home-cooked meal quite a lot, don't you?
No, she tends to eat and then turn up afterwards. Maybe she's heard about my cooking.
Yeah, maybe
she's
you should just
take... pasta bake.
She's fed up with sharing the plate.
It's...
No, we've got past the one plate thing by now, surely. It was a year ago.
Yeah.
It's nice to take someone out.
Okay.
So don't cook.
Right.
And how's Dave? Because we're going to get Dave
good.
On the radio show, aren't we?
Yeah, we can get him on the phone sometime if you
who's
want.
Who's your current squeeze? Because Dave was, he's not always here in Liverpool, is he? And he had an opportunity to come in and we couldn't make the times match up.
No, but he's a busy man.
He's a busy man. We thought we'd get Dave on the phone. Maybe we can do Mr. and Mrs. for 2009 with Laura in the studio. You're familiar with Mr. and Mrs.
Yeah, I know.
And Dave on the phone.
Well, should we do it next week?
Well, could we do it next week? We could do it next week.
Are we going to get your wife on the phone as well?
God, you'd be opening a can of worms. That would be a nightmare.
Each week.
Yeah, I like that. It's a good
idea. I'm happy to undergo that experiment first.
I'd like
I'm
you to get closer
challenge.
To four months before I do that.
Yeah.
Well,
I thought
closer.
For our 3-month anniversary, we could play Mr. and Mrs. on the radio. That's a way to scale hair off.
Someone load it down because I'll forget by next week. Now, listen, there's something also I wanted to talk about because you came into the studio with a spring in your step earlier on because you've had another poke. Haven't you? You've been poked again. And what's interesting about this, it is synonymous with life, isn't it? Is when you don't go looking for love or relationship, something happens and you find one. You've not been on this website that we registered you on months ago, my single friend thingamajig or whatever. And since you've not been looking at it, you've had more pokes
had couple,
on it than when you were looking at
I
it on a daily basis.
I haven't actually looked. I literally, because the way it works is you get an email if somebody puts you on their favourite list. And I just received an email the other day, actually, from my single friend saying, somebody's put you on their favourite.
So you don't know who it is?
I haven't looked. So we haven't.
We haven't got a Charlie and Chester thing.
Shall we look?
Well, you can look, but not touch.
Let's have a look in the break and see what she's like.
Well, power up the PC here at City Talk 105.9 in the Bloke Talk studio. Get me, it sounds like we have our own studio. And we'll have a look at My Single Friend and see what's on there.
It's ours while we're in it.
What?
It's ours while we're in it.
Get out. And the other thing, that we've got a competition as well on this radio station. It's been snapping at the heels and sniffing away for a good few months. But now, as a result of the success, I like to think, of Bloke Talk, you know there's a show also at the weekend, which Kim, who's one half of our breakfast show, does, the fragrant Kim Hughes. And it was called Kim and Friends.
Yes, right? It was.
Now it's called Girl Talk.
No.
So they've copied us, basically.
Well, I wouldn't like to suggest that, you know, there was a lack of inspiration and creativity going on. But, you know, come on. Girl Talk. So
they've stepped the game up, then.
Well, I think it's that they've fired a salvo across our bows, quite frankly.
Absolutely.
Are they better than us? I don't really listen to it. Are they better than us?
Well, you see, what that show lacks, and I like it, it's a good show. You know, I do like
I don't listen to it.
They always get a chef in, don't they?
But he's kept in the corner in a cage. Yeah. Any man who's in.
He's got a nice bum.
But they talk about him. They don't talk to him. They talk about him. Yeah. It's like, oh, he's a man, he's here to cook.
Yeah.
Right? There's no engagement with the man. And I think the difference, I'll tell you what makes Bloke Talk better than Girl Talk, and it's this. We have a lady as part of the Bloke Talk team. That was a conscious decision to get a female perspective on life. Girl Talk, that's it. There's no oxygen left in the studio. I want all of them yabbered away. It's ridiculous. Poor man there, it's just that he might as well just be stuffed.
Stop stuffing that turkey. Stuff yourself.
I do like the food thing. I mean, I know we often talk about food on the show. I like that.
Yeah, we talk about it.
Food and wine.
Maybe we need a nice lady chef to come and cook for us once every now and then.
Well, I was thinking, it would be a bit of a cop-out and a bit of copying going on if we started getting in a chef from a local restaurant.
I've got an idea. As we talked about once before on Bloke Talk, Pee-Pee, breakfast chef.
Yeah. So what are you suggesting?
Well, she rustles up breakfast every weekend. Is quite a manly meal, isn't it?
Yeah. So where are we going with this? What are you suggesting?
Well, I think that it would be a good place to start, perhaps, is to get her in
one day.
Well,
she's going to come
and cook? To cook us breakfast.
Because, you know, here in the City Radio Tower, we have a kitchen upstairs. We have a fully functional kitchen.
We do.
That we're not allowed to use because the fire alarms go off. Yes. So we have a bit of a problem logistically. Mind you, how does the Girl Talk chef make it work? He must bring stuff in and warm it up.
He pre-prepares it and just sticks it in the microwave.
We could do a typical Bloke Talk kind of spot of cuisine and maybe do fast food every week.
Yes.
I like the sound of that. We did talk briefly about one of us bringing in each week something sort of strange.
We did. Yeah. We must do that. Let's note that down. You see, what we're lacking...
Mr. and Mrs.
We're lacking a show administrator to jot down these notes. Yeah, because we did say, didn't we?
I love the way your eyes briefly went to the producer at that point.
Ah,
you're not the only one organised enough to do this.
What? Yeah, no, we came up with this idea. That's it. And we should do it. We should do that. We should definitely do that for this year. Each week, a different person brings in something weird to eat. We said we would do that. It's a genius idea.
And it's a good way of supporting the local economy.
Yeah, because there's some great shops, particularly down Bold Street, where you can get some really different kind of food.
Yeah, I'm up for that.
We'll do that.
Okay.
It is Bloke Talk, and it's the weekend. It's the voice of Liverpool, City Talk 105.9. Laura's here, and she's the female element of Bloke Talk. We cover all the bases, unlike Girl Talk. Toby's here as well. I'm Duncan, and if you've tuned in at the weekend, hope your weekend's going well. And, of course, if you're one of our listeners who downloads this onto your thing that you walk around with and listen to it, then thank you for downloading it. A reminder, the Bloke Talk Appreciation Society, thing is up on Facebook. If you want to get involved, go to Facebook, type in Bloke Talk Appreciation Society. You can join our gang and you could write on the wall and leave any questions or thoughts or whatever. You can do that. Facebook is the place to go and Bloke Talk Appreciation Society. And we'll come back in a few moments' time because, Toby, you've got stuff to talk about. I've got a couple of things I've been pondering over the last 7 days. Laura's got a book. What's your book called?
I Love Babies.
We'll do that in a few moments' time. This is the Voice of Liverpool, City Talk 105.9.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks, City Talk 105.9.
Thank you very much for tuning in. Bloke Talk, City Talk 105.9. It's the weekend. Laura's here, Toby's here, and I'm Duncan. I'm just looking at Toby's Facebook page. What have you got as your little message? If Carling made parents, they'd probably make mine. What the hell's that about?
Oh,
is that quite derogatory towards your parents?
I can't say.
On the Carling.
Well, I can say, but I don't want to say.
Well, you shouldn't.
No, that means they're great.
Yeah,
the best
they are
of them.
Great. Yes, isn't there a positive thing? Reason why I don't want to say.
Why?
Because.
Well, you said it now by telling
me
you don't want to say.
It makes me sound extraordinarily spoiled. And I don't want to do that.
Have they given you, like...
They bought you a yacht.
10 grand or something.
Yes, they bought me a yacht. That's exactly it.
Go on,
I'm not going. No,
because the world you inhabit is so far removed from anything that Laura and I have anything to do with.
I don't want to say.
Yeah, the only person I know who goes to a New Year's Eve party and the bloke's got a butler.
Do you know what? He didn't have a butler.
Does it involve money?
Tell you what he did have. He had a fish tank. I'm not joking. You could have swum 2 strokes in that fish tank. It was that big.
Really?
Yeah, it was huge.
So posh.
Absolutely huge. It was ridiculous.
Well, I want to know what your parents... Was it a Christmas present? Was it a brilliant Christmas present?
No. I haven't really got a Christmas present from them yet. I think they might be about to buy me a dining room table for my kitchen, for my living room.
So, it made you sound spoiled.
I don't want to go there.
They're giving you a large amount of cash.
I don't want to go there. Stop it. I'm not going to tell you. So, there's no point going there.
Are they
going
to tell you where they found you?
Just... Do you know what? It's funny you say that. I should tell you about how I was born, actually.
Oh, no, if I put my foot on it.
My mum went into labour, and my dad had to go and find someone to babysit my sister, who at the time was coming up to being 4 years old. And she was sort of in labour for an hour and a half before we managed to come back and had found anybody.
We had Gordon Brown in during the week.
Shall I not bother?
No, continue.
Started driving her to the hospital, and the last thing she said apparently before they got going was, "We're not going to get there."
Right.
So my first part of, you know, getting into the world was falling head first into the footwell underneath the glove compartment of a Vauxhall Astra.
An Astra.
You were born in a car.
I was born in a Vauxhall Astra.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's a great story.
There we go.
What, driving along?
Yeah. And my mum said to my dad at the time, he's been born.
Break!
And my dad said, don't be silly. And then I cried and he was like, oh, Christ.
There was no midwife.
That explains
there.
So much.
It's illegal. No midwife is illegal. And they spent a long time questioning my parents and they took me away and put me in a ventilator to keep me warm while they questioned my
Astras
parents about it.
Astras can get quite nippy, can't they?
So there we go.
That's a great story.
Yeah, there we go.
So you were born in a Vauxhall Astra, which has got a good local connection because, of course, the Astra's made in Ellesmere, home of the Astra.
Yeah. And its number plate was ALF. And I've always wondered why they never called me ALF.
Animal Liberation Front.
I don't think that's what it stood for.
Right.
But I've always wondered why they didn't just call me ALF after the car. But I was sad when that little red
Astra went. Yeah, but you wouldn't be called Alfie, would you? That name always comes
Alfie's
up.
Quite cute.
No, it always comes up in the top 10 boys' names. At the tail end of last year. Because newspapers have nothing to write about between Christmas and New Year. So they trawl out the top 10 popular boys' and girls' names. And number 7 is always Alfie. Because it's supposed to sound quite cute.
It is
quite cute. Or people used to watch EastEnders and used to like that funny bloke.
Alfie Moon.
Alfie Moon. Oh, he's lovely. I like him.
Shane Ritchie.
Yeah. Anyway,
do you know what? That is the perfect thing. You know, when you have to go to job interviews or you go to a conference or something, you have to say one interesting fact about yourself. I was born in a car. That's brilliant.
That is great. What I like about what you just told is potentially there's someone listening to this radio show, Bloke
Talk, driving around.
No, on City Talk 105.9, who potentially could have made the car.
Oh, yes.
That you were born in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's great. Anyway, you're looking at Facebook.
Yeah.
And if Carling made parents, they'd be yours. We discovered that.
Yeah.
Why are we on Facebook?
I was just double checking on the old Bloke Talk Appreciation Society.
Anything on there? It's been a while.
I think people are have had a busy Christmas and not been able to get on. But start it all up again.
Yeah. Bloke Talk Appreciation Society. It's on Facebook. If you listen to this show and you like what we talk about, you want to get involved, you can write on the wall, join the Bloke Talk Appreciation Society. But the reason you logged on in the first place was for mysinglefriend.com.
Yes.
Because you've been poked, but your poker's done a runner.
My poker, I think, was so upset at the fact that I didn't respond to her that she's actually taken herself off the website.
When were
all you... I know is that she was from West Yorkshire.
Oh, I shouldn't bother.
Bit of a long way away.
When did you initially get the... When was the poke?
It was 2 days before Christmas Day.
So you've left it this long?
Well,
to actually go on the site? No wonder she's done a runner.
I'm a taken man. I'm not interested.
She's out
anymore.
Through the virtual toilet window at the back of the pub.
She's I think she's that devastated that I've been taken. She's pulled herself off the website in sadness.
Aww. She probably just saw sense.
Well, that's a bit nasty.
Well, maybe she poked you by mistake.
Yeah.
Maybe she hadn't read all your interests properly. When she read them, she realised you weren't compatible.
She wasn't looking for a horn player.
She didn't want a watch-loving horn player. You know, you're a rare breed, Toby.
Anyway, Toby, well done on finding this. Where did you find this?
What, the Vimto?
Yeah, the Vimto. Because I didn't know they actually... Pick it up for a second. I didn't know they did Vimto in bottles.
Yeah.
That's great. Where did you find this? Was this in the fridge upstairs?
In a shop.
Happened to be upstairs here in the City Radio Tower, masquerading as a fridge.
Happened to be offering us free beer.
What's your book called?
Vimto.
I Love Babies.
Why have you got that book?
No, it's I Love Babies.
Are you pregnant?
Does Dave know?
Well, if you listen to what I'm going to say, I Love Babies and Other Lies He'll Tell You to Get You Into Bed.
Oh.
And this is what it says on the back. Have you ever had a guy casually drop one of these classic lines into a conversation? Chances are he was pulling your leg in an attempt to pull you.
Have you ever told a big lie to try and pull somebody?
It's not your leg you want to get pulled. It's
hilarious porkies.
No, well, your lying doesn't work, does it? Lying comes back and haunts you.
No, but what if you were just out on the pool, you literally were trying your luck that night and you knew you were never going to see
him
again? Oh, do you
know, something's coming back, it's flooding into my memory, yes. I've been part of something that was very, very, it was wrong. It was wrong. Have I told you my story about...
Terrible?
It's definitely arable, but it just shows you the worst possible side to man and what they will actually say in what they believe is what women find attractive in order to get further in the romantic stakes. I've talked about this bloke before on this show, and I call Chris Griffin. I talked about Chris Griffin.
Isn't he the son in Family Guy?
I have absolutely no idea. I doubt it. Chris Griffin was someone I used to work with in the car trade, because you know I used to work in the car trade.
Yes,
years
you told
and
about,
years
yeah.
ago, it was my very first job. Chris Griffin was the man who was like the chief car seller. So if you can imagine, he was a blonde hair, looked a bit of a surfing dude, not necessarily bad looking, but you know, kind of new. He had the patter. That was the thing. He had the patter. So we all go out drinking on a Friday night. It always used to be kind of like the Friday or the Saturday after payday. You know, towards the end of the month. And it would be, because you know, sometimes when you get paid, if you're going to plan a night out, you kind of like do the full Monty, don't you? You don't have a meal.
You go out strip.
You take your kiss off. You go out for a meal, but then you don't go out for a meal, but you go out for beers and stuff. Then you end up in the club. Yeah, because you know you've got the money for all the cabs and stuff like that. Always tends to be the Friday or the Saturday after you get paid. And we used to do this at this particular company. I don't mind mentioning them. They're called Automotive Leasing. And all of the young, thrusting males and females who kind of like a little social unit, we'd go out, and we always used to go on a bit of a pub crawl. Sometimes we'd go for a Chinese or whatever, and then we'd end up in a nightclub like this shows you how long ago it was. It was in the era when nightclubs were called things like Illusions or Bubbles.
Oh dear.
Or the Karaoke. So we used to do this, and Illusions was one. I know. Illusions was one that we always used to go to. And this guy, Chris Griffin, this was dreadful. There was me, there were a couple of other guys who worked in sales, somebody worked in IT, not very interesting. And Chris Griffin said, shh. He said, right. He said, I've got a surefire one. Okay, when we go into the club, we go in as a unit, he said. Okay. And he said, what we do? He said, we're all off-duty firemen. And this was his. This was his. He was absolutely convinced that telling ladies
women like firemen, didn't
absolutely, that this would work. And there was a time when I was a little bit leaner than I am now, you know. And I kind of just got by the way of it. Chris got away with it, you know. The 4'11" bloke from IT, bit of a non-starter, but it did work. It worked because it's like, oh, so it was dreadful. And the thing is, once you get a whiff of success, you can't, because you can't then go, actually, no, I'm not. You know, you know, I work in the customer service department. So you start talking one like a sister. What's it like? You go, oh, it's dreadful. Oh, I've seen some things.
Oh,
rescued
no.
any cats?
That's so
immoral. Yeah, rescued a lot of cats. We did
so
one last
immoral,
week.
That.
It's wrong. It's so wrong.
That's a bad lie.
But it worked, though.
Yeah, it works. You always get a snog at the end of the night.
Did they ask you for a fireman's lift?
Chris used to do that because he was he was so kind of like confident of his abilities and he was such an extrovert and stuff. I always felt uncomfortable.
My friend Stuart Spence, who is a member of the Bloke Talk Facebook Appreciation Society, has got a great, he's got a girlfriend now, but he's got a great one that he always used to use, that he was the inventor of the Kit Kat Chunky.
Now, why would that impress a woman?
It's just interesting,
maybe
isn't
they
it?
Think they can get them for free.
I'm going to try that. I love that.
Inventor of the
I mean,
Kit
10 out of 10 for style there. That is, that I love is the way skill.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? And it keeps the conversation going. Cause
I
then
love
they'll...
the way that it's like a spin-off of another chocolate bar that clearly you couldn't have invented.
Actually, it's more impressive being behind the Chunky than the original Four Finger, isn't it?
The Chunky's only been out a few years. He's quite young. It's believable.
Yeah.
And he did work at that time at Nestle factory in York. So
you've got this book, I Love Babies and Other Lies That Men Tell.
Yeah.
You're a lady of the world. You're experienced. I mean that in a nice way, not in a derogatory fashion. So kind of like, have you ever been told any lies?
Well, I wouldn't know, would I?
You've never discovered a bad
No,
lie,
I've never found, it? Never really found one out, I don't think.
Do you think women know when they're being lied to?
Oh, no. Not all the time. I think men are really good liars, actually. Better than women.
That's interesting. So what's in the book, then?
I hate to admit it, but I'm actually a very good liar.
Are you?
Yeah. Are you?
You can't really play the French horn, can you?
You've seen that I can't.
You weren't
play
born
the French
in, You weren't born in an Astra.
I was born in an Astra.
It was
Astra.
A Cortina.
My birth certificate even says born on the way to Watford General Hospital.
Oh, bring that in. Please bring that in so I can
Something
see
Something along
it.
Those words.
It right, says, okay, yeah. These are some of
you're
the ones...
You're a traveller. You're a nomad.
Right, here's some of the ones in the book.
Yeah.
When I first saw you, I thought you were Angelina Jolie.
Oh, that wouldn't work.
Would you ever tell a woman she looked like someone famous? Even if she didn't?
But that's like...
Go on, what's
no, I'll carry on.
That's not even
I've always,
common,
I've always been a vegan.
Oh, no. Ooh.
See, I wouldn't like that because I don't trust men that are vegetarians.
See, that's what I like about you, the fact that you don't trust men who don't eat meat. I think that's great.
Well, no, it's not. I think don't trust is probably the wrong word. Actually.
No, but I think you're right.
My boss is a vegetarian.
Yeah,
no, I just I find it quite unusual.
Give me the book. Pass me the book over. We need to create a scenario here.
It's got a topless All man right. on it.
It's by Sarah Herman. I Love Babies and Other Lies He'll Tell You to Get You Into Bed.
Be careful, some of them are
Would
a bit
I Love Babies, would it's, that have worked for you?
No, that was...
All right, and so Toby, I'm going to pluck one out of here. You're right, some of these you can't use. Mind you, would you really fall for I'm a Black Belt? It's a little bit lame, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure Sarah Herman's a nice enough lady, but some of these things... I beat David Beckham at football once. Is that going to make you kind of just swoon and, you know... Roll over?
Sometimes people do, lads do say stuff like that, don't they? I used to play football with Ryan Giggs or Steven Gerrard when I was a...
Okay, I want to say...
I always thought they were telling the truth, though.
There's no point in saying that. Something like
I had I had trials at Liverpool.
You
I
do,
had trials at Man
a lot
City.
Of people do have trials with clubs, don't they? They really do. And, you know,
well, you see, that would work
genuine.
If you got a woman who wants to be a wag.
Well,
now, listen, I've got this three here, Toby, starting with this one here, and then that one
I
there.
I like the picture.
And then that one there. Don't read it out yet. We've got to create the right ambience here, okay? So what I want you to do... It's funny, isn't it? What I want you to do is, Laura, I want you to be the lady.
Okay.
Because you'll be good at that. And Toby, I want you to be the man. Right. I don't want you to go in using this particular lie or chat-up line. You've got to have a little bit of patter.
I'm going to try and...
All right? A little bit of patter. And I'm going to create the ambience, okay?
Can you be the barman?
This is... What, do you want a bar or do you want a nightclub? What do you want?
I don't really do
nightclubs. Nightclub,
I think. I'll do you one of both, all right?
Okay.
Okay? So I'm going to make the nightclub noises in the background, all right? And Toby, you need to start. You've got to have the conversation
I'm
with Laura.
Sort of shout
all that jazz. And then I want you to get in with the kind of like the lie or the chat-up lies and let's see if it works.
You know what? I'm terrible at this.
You've got to work for this already. So this is nightclub, okay? All right? Okay, this is nightclub. I can't keep this up for long, all right?
What's your name?
My name's Laura.
How you doing? You having a good night?
Yeah, great, thanks.
Do you know what?
What?
I can't even say it. Do you know what, love?
What?
Keep making the go. Do you know what, love? Doesn't bother me if my girlfriend doesn't shave.
What?
That is one of the funniest things I have ever heard. Can I just point out I got genuinely hit on the head just then?
See, let's look at this chat up line in the cold and sober light of day. Okay, now regardless of where you are, the mere structure of the sentence, the words that's used, what it actually implies, and whether or not it's a lie or not. Would you like to repeat the line?
Just repeat it with me, try not to laugh. Yes, excuse me, love. It doesn't bother me if my girlfriend doesn't shave. I mean, that is quite a lie, isn't it? It's so deliciously surreal.
The best bit about it is
there's a picture of a monkey next to it.
All right, listen, we ought to do the... We ought to do the other scenario.
Oh, it hurts.
Okay, do another one.
We need to take a break in a second. Let's crowbar this one in. All right, so you wanted... well, it was marked, wasn't it? It was the one after the orangutan picture. Right. Okay, now, so this is... all right, so how are we going to do this? You want me to be the barman?
Yeah, let's. I'll go for the can I buy you a drink line.
But what am I doing?
You're the barman, getting us the drinks.
Okay, all right. Okay.
So you order a drink and then I'll be standing at the
bar. Well, let's have a bit of patter, yeah. Yeah. All right, okay, ready? All right, mate, what can I get you?
All right, just a...
Because that's how all barmen talk, didn't you know?
All right, just a...
little bit cockney.
Just a bottle of beer, please.
What kind of beer would you like, sir? We've got Budvar, Budweiser, Heineken. What would you like?
I'd like a bottle of generic house beer.
That's a good choice, sir.
Oh, you're
there
right.
You are.
And one for the lady as well, I think.
What would you like, madam?
Oh,
what would you like?
White wine spritzer,
Bacardi
please.
And soda.
White wine spritzer, please.
Are you from Essex?
Yeah.
All right. White wine spritzer. All right, here you are. That's
so
lovely.
What's your name, love?
Tina.
I'll go and get some
all
nuts.
Right, Tina. I've got to just tell you. Before you drink that drink.
What?
Want a peanut, by the way.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I'll have a peanut, yeah. What's your name then?
I'm Toby, by the way.
Oh, nice to meet you.
All right.
Thanks for the drink.
I love animals.
What are you calling me an animal?
I tell you what, if they say you can laugh a woman into bed, it's going to do a good job.
I think I'd just be offended by that.
I love animals.
Well, maybe it works. It is Bloke Talk, and it's the weekend, unless you downloaded it. And this is the voice of Liverpool, City Talk 105.9.
This is a man's world.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks, City Talk 105.9.
But it would be nothing without a woman or a girl.
Bloke Talk here at City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. We're here every weekend. You can download it via the website, and if you have done that, thank you very much indeed. Find out more about the show by going to citytalk.fm. Do you know, I haven't laughed so much for weeks. I'm just going through this book, and we thought what we'd do during the break is maybe do a bit of gender reversal. Because this book is I Love Babies and Other Lies He'll Tell to Get You Into Bed, but obviously in the interest of equality.
Yeah, and women can do the chatting up nowadays.
Women do chatting up nowadays.
It's the 21st century.
They really do.
So equality and diversity. We thought we'd get Laura to chat Toby up.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to find something on here that is remotely suitable for Laura to use, because there's some filth in this book, isn't there?
Can you stop drooling and get on with the show?
So there you go, Laura. That's your chat-up line, all right? What scenario would you...
Hang on.
Yes.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it does. It'll be very funny, trust me.
Say it exactly as it's written down.
Yeah. Well, pluck one out for your what you find particularly good, then.
That doesn't make sense.
Oh, now you've ruined it. You've told everyone.
Okay.
I've not.
No, I feel told. We should find. Well, we'll try. What scenario do you want?
I'll do that one.
All right, scenario. Need a scenario. It's not a bar. It's not a disco. Where is it? It's a.
I think it needs to be a.
How about a hospital waiting room? You might chat. You might chat someone up in a hospital waiting room,
or on a train, or something like that. Yeah.
That's good. I like that. Yeah. Okay. So we'll do the hospital. Let's do the hospital waiting room.
Right.
Okay. So you two. Well, you never know. Love is in some of the strangest places. So I'll provide the ambience for the hospital waiting room, and then you two need to...
ambience for a
I'll create one. And you two need to have a conversation as if you're waiting to be seen in hospital.
So we're ill. We're not waiting for other ill people.
I don't care what you're doing there. I'm just going to do the... okay.
Number 70, Dr. Kill, thank you.
Hiya.
Hi.
Nurse!
How are you?
Well, I'm all right. It's just my nan, really. She's not well.
Well, it's nice to nice to meet you. You're a good-looking guy.
Oh, thanks.
Seven to the cubicle.
You're very forward, aren't you?
Well, I have got a disease. That's it. That's a chat-up line, apparently.
I mean, let's just look at that in the cold and sober light of day. So where do you go when someone tells you that?
Oh, well, which one?
Oh, no.
The one that I like to know is, I'm going to war tomorrow. Oh, are you? Oh, we must spend the night together. Yeah. Who with? Whose side are you on? The book's very interesting, and it's given us no end of pleasure for the best part of bloke talk this week. So we ought to move on, because I'm struggling to continue. Something I wanted to mention. You know that in the kitchen, in any relationship, 9 times out of 10, the kind of onus of responsibility when it comes to cooking always tends to fall on the lady.
Yes.
And on the female and stuff. Why do you think that is?
Because women are better at cooking.
You think that is? Do you think that's what it is?
But if you look at professional chefs,
exactly my
point. Oh yeah.
Exactly my point. This is what I can't work out. Okay, because virtually every marriage, every relationship I know, the woman is kind of seen as the person where the kitchen is her domain. Yeah.
Do you know what it actually is? It's because women like to look after men.
Think that's what it is?
Well, you have that gene where you like to do things for people. That's what women have. They like to look after.
Well, you don't have to cook.
No, but it's a kind of a nurturing thing, isn't it? That's why they're more, you know, some women actually get pleasure out of cleaning the house and doing the cooking and doing the washing, the clothes and the ironing and all that kind of thing. Because it's, you know, it's that giving, altruistic thing.
Gives pleasure. That really gives a woman pleasure, do you think?
Yeah, I love, you know, when I go and see Dave at the weekend and his house is a mess. And,
you tidying up, do you?
Oh, I love tidying
do
up
you,
and
really?
Making his house nice. Yeah,
do
I really
you,
do.
Do you tidy yourself, like, with your own stuff as well?
Am I tidy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's, I suppose, I was going to say, I think probably there's some people, like, I prefer doing other people's tidying and stuff, and I prefer cooking for other people than I do myself.
Yeah.
It's a bit
well,
weird.
Well, maybe you've got that altruistic gene as well.
I just don't like looking after myself.
Does so when Pee-Pee comes around your place, does she tidy up?
No, it's the thing is, I've got so little amount of stuff in
right.
there that it's difficult to make it a mess, to be honest with you.
But this is
but
what
you still manage.
This is what I wanted to explore, because... Yeah. As you picked up on, Tobe, you know, plenty of women see it as their kind of domain. The kitchen is their place and stuff. Yet virtually all of the celebrity chefs, apart from Nigella and apart from Delia, they're outnumbered by blokes time and time again. And I just can't work it out. I just don't
and
understand.
Delia's got a manly hobby in football as well, hasn't she? So.
Good point.
Yeah. Well, men are always more likely to rise to the top of any profession because they're more driven, they're more single-minded. That's what I'd say.
And also they don't get pregnant.
Well, that's a whole nother
which
kettle of fish.
Is true, isn't it? People tell you what, have you noticed how everyone's getting pregnant at the moment?
Yeah.
Certainly in this office.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting pregnant. Yeah. What's going on?
There's a lot of baby making going on.
I blame
around,
the credit
great.
Crunch.
Well, no, you see, this is
free,
interesting. I'm reading a book at the moment.
Not when you have it.
It's true. You're definitely onto something here. I'm reading a book at the moment because January is tough, isn't it? Mm. Okay, and my theory is, and I've said this several times in various places, but not here on Bloke Talk. You know, January, there's a lot of theories around, you know, it's a long month. You know, 31 days, it sounds obvious,
no
but it's
money.
True.
And it's cold, it's
a long,
as well.
It's a long month.
Feeling.
You haven't got the money because you got paid earlier in December and you get paid later in January because it's a long month. And you've hit the nail on the head, it's cold. Okay. If January in this country, it was a nice kind of like late 20s, early 30s Celsius, degrees Celsius, and you know, you could put on your flip-flops in the morning, put on a pair of shorts and a T-shirt and go to work or whatever, people would be a hell of a lot happier than they are at the moment.
If you turned up in shorts and T-shirt and flip-flops to work...
What I'm saying is, if you could embrace hot weather in January, if the temperature was a lot more palatable, people would be a hell of a lot more happier than they are at the moment.
Yes,
okay, because it's the cold. You've hit the nail on the head. It's the cold. I have a solution to this. Some people have light boxes because they say they've got seasonal assisted disorder, you know, when there's not enough bloody daylight and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've got light boxes. I don't do any of that. Do you know what I read? I'm reading A Year in Provence by Peter Mayall. Right, which is great. It's been going for years. It was made into a TV series with John Thor. It's all about this guy and his wife who go and live in part of France, and you know they've got a place, and they're kind of like putting it all together and stuff. And it's all the French way of life. I'm getting to a point here. Stay with me. Right, there's a thing in this particular part of France called the Mistral, which is just like this wind, fierce biting wind that blows for weeks and weeks, for about 4 or 5 weeks. And everyone, you know, this lovely kind of valley, which is normally so picturesque and lovely, is constantly covered in ice and snow. No one sees anyone else for weeks and weeks because everyone's locked away, you know, in their houses and the cottages. All you see, apparently, the smoke's coming out of the chimney. You know, it takes 2 hours to actually get in your car and go into town to get a bit of bread or whatever and all of that jazz. What?
Just wonder where we're going.
Point is this.
I think I know where we're going. The baby boom period in France.
Absolutely. Yeah. Why? Because in this particular country, in this particular part of the country, there's nothing going on. People can't go out and do stuff. So what are they doing instead? They're making babies.
Absolutely.
And that is my point.
And it's exactly the same as at the moment. Although, having said that, presumably the ones that are pregnant all made babies before we got to January and it was cold.
Yeah.
So maybe that throws your theory entirely out the window.
Yeah.
What month was your little girl born in? What's her birthday?
October.
So 9 months before October. January.
Yeah.
That does prove your little theory.
It does, it? Yeah.
When were you born?
December.
Still a bit
March.
Cold. I was born in July.
In a car.
In a car. Yeah.
In an Astra.
Do you know what? I don't mind if my girlfriend doesn't shave. It's fine.
Have you told her that?
Do you know
does
what?
Does PP know that you don't mind the odd bit of bristle?
I've actually got a thing about that. That would be one of the biggest lies I could tell because I don't like... We've talked about this before, I'm sure we have.
Laura's shown us her hairy legs before.
I'm going to say, they weren't hairy.
No, they were
stubbly.
Yeah, there is a difference. Not nice.
Yeah. How often does a woman shave her legs, then?
Well, that's like asking how long's a piece of string.
Well, no, it's a conversation worth having. You see, on Girl Talk, they would spend an hour talking about the best way to shave their legs. And some of them can actually be doing with scraping that stuff off their chin. But what I'm saying...
An awful thing to say.
Have you never heard about the bearded woman?
What are you talking about?
I want to know from a bloke's perspective, because I'm fascinated, how often does a woman shave her legs? What?
The bearded woman
used to exist in Victorian times, okay? The circus used to come to town, all right? You could have a look at the bloke who used to be able to lift weights, and you could go into a little tent, and there'd be a woman with a beard. Everyone used to go in, laugh, go, and then walk out.
Yeah, what's that got to do with Girl Talk?
I heard them talking about the bearded woman. Anyway,
they're not interviewing.
Actually, different women's hair grows at different rates. Yeah. I know some girls who've got actually naturally smooth legs and hardly ever have to shave, which is great for them.
Yeah.
But for a normal woman, if you wanted them to stay smooth, you'd probably do it every 2 days.
Here's a question for you.
Hang on, is it a pain? Not does it hurt, but is it just one of these things? Because, look, you know, I've got a couple of days' growth there. Okay?
Exactly.
Because I just can't be bothered. The alarm goes off in the morning. I think, do you know what?
You can't be bothered to take me for a Turkish shave.
It's going
to
happen. I'm in the process of sorting it out. But I just, you know, you just wake up and you go, it's cold. I cannot be bothered to shave. Is it the same with a woman? Actually, on my legs, a little bit of bristle going on there on the inner thigh. But I...
Well, no, I don't. I mean, for me, I don't see my boyfriend much anyway, so there's no point in me doing it a lot of the time.
Does Dave like hairy
having
legs?
Said that...
So is that the only reason you do it? You do it for men?
No, having said that, I've been getting my new healthy me in 09. I've been going swimming.
Yeah.
So I make sure I have smooth legs for swimming, so I have been doing...
Have you re-encountered the man that wasn't weird with you?
Don't mention that place again.
I saw him.
Really?
Did he wink at you?
Did you...
He was staring at me.
Away?
This lifeguard stares at me. Hmm. And just to say, I don't always go to the same swimming pool.
But
this
one,
yeah. No, but he stares at me.
Was he?
But I think he's the kind of guy that probably stares at all women.
Everybody, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with looking at someone, is there? He's probably just monitoring my safety whilst I'm in the pool.
Mm. That's a good excuse. If you're a lifeguard, you can do that, can't you?
Well, exactly.
Like if you're a bouncer in a nightclub.
Yeah.
It's one of the few occupations where you can justifiably stare at a woman and pretend you're doing a job.
Well, I don't see what's so interesting about watching someone go up and down.
That should be one of the things in the book.
Well, I don't know. But, you know, what I'm saying is, in his job, he can justify staring at you for a great length of time. If anyone else stared at you, if a bus driver just stared at you constantly, you'd be going,
Drive the bus?
Yeah, I'd be going, watch the road. Yeah.
A lifeguard can get away with it, so can a bouncer. It's probably the only... Yeah. Two occupations where you can justifiably stare at people and will not get slapped.
Well, I could just see him out the corner of my goggles, and it was very off-cutting. Why is that funny? Yeah, but anyway, I do love swimming. It's my favourite exercise. Can't be doing with the gym.
No.
Love to swim.
That's boring. We talked about that.
I do a kilometre every time.
That is good. You feel better for it.
40 lengths. Yeah.
40 lengths? That's a lot. How many do you do without a break?
Well, what do you mean a break?
Like, do you do sort of five and then stay at the end for a bit and then do another five?
No, I do like every two or three I might stop for about 20 seconds.
How are the old lungs? How's your cardiovascular activity? Are you finding yourself a lot fitter?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I'm trying to lose weight, basically, it's sort of a week into it now and I haven't really lost anything, so I'm kind of getting a little bit...
Give it more than a week.
Oh, no, I will do, Toby, because it's a long-term plan, but it's one of these January things.
It's the right way of doing it, because you're doing it because you quite like swimming, don't you? Okay,
yeah.
So it's not pain. It's not like going to the gym three times a week for an hour and a half and doing something really horrendous. It's doing these little bits. And if you talk to or listen to the guys on this radio station a lot called Dr. G, who appears on various radio shows, he will tell you some of the best things, the little things make a hell of a lot of difference. And, you know, what I do now, when I get the train in the morning from the Wirral, normally I come into Liverpool Central, but I get off at James Street. And all right, it's only a 10-minute walk, but it's a walk uphill. And, you know, it's just those little bits. It's a little
bit
more exercise.
That's what they say to do, isn't it?
Yeah, and it actually, I mean, I feel, you know, I have a bit of spring in my step some mornings.
Have you lost weight, Duncan, actually?
No, I've had my hair cut.
I actually thought this when you walked in the office today. I thought... You've lost weight.
Bless you, sweet. I don't know is the honest answer because I don't weigh myself. I stopped doing that a long time ago.
If you want to lose weight, the way to do it is get some scales because those babies don't lie.
Yeah, but that's the problem, isn't it?
Well, I know, but I bought some scales just before New Year and I thought I'm going to step on them on New Year's Day and see the horrid truth. And I saw that in front of my eyes.
Yeah. And was it really horrid?
Oh, it's terrible.
Were you shocked?
Oh, I was actually shocked.
Surprised you didn't realise whatever it was.
No.
You changed your diet at all?
Yes, I did go out for one meal this week.
You're allowed to go out for meals.
But I think you can do that one night, can't you? And then eat healthily the rest of the time.
You didn't see that Claire Sweeney program during the week, did
you?
No,
I didn't see it.
It was on Tuesday night, and this is a thing that has been all over the newspapers. Claire Sweeney, you know, ex-Brookie and all of this, went on a reverse diet, excuse me.
put on as much weight as she could, basically.
She was allowed to eat whatever she wanted to eat. And I actually thought she looked great. you know, because I think we get far too hung up on kind of like size in this country. But where I thought it was wrong, she went to Hollywood and, you know, if you
where
want...
she's already made a big success of herself, of course.
Yeah. But, you know, if you want someone to kind of like really give you issues about your size, you don't go to Hollywood.
No.
You don't go and talk to someone who's a member of the Spelling family. You know, the people behind Dynasty,
yeah.
Aaron Spelling. And one of the daughters or whatever now runs a, you know, she's a casting agent. And of course, old Claire went to see her and the woman went, oh, you need to lose a few dress sizes before I'd ever employ you. And like, she was like, it's terrible. It's like, what on earth did you expect? You know, in that particular part of America, Hollywood, the vainest place on the planet where everyone has to be a stick insect, you're not going to walk in there a couple of stone heavier going, hey, what do you reckon? They're not going to go, yeah, bring it on, because we really like fat people in this country. It was just the worst possible thing to go and do. It was an interesting program, but it's just kind of, it made me think, right, you go to Hollywood and you're surprised they're telling you that you're too heavy and too large to appear in a US film. It was ridiculous. Anyway,
I really want to say something, but I can't.
That was the point of the programme, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but I think sometimes programmes like that, whilst it tries to bring about some good and acceptance and stuff, it can have a negative effect. It really can.
Well, I don't know.
No.
I don't know, sorry.
That's all right. That has been it for Bloke Talk. I'm still desperately trying to recover from I Love Babies. And maybe we should start a regular thing where we take bits of classic theatre and reenact it in 21st century situations. It has been Bloke Talk, and you've been listening to it on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. Get in contact with the show, if you like, by emailing Duncan, that's me, duncan@citytalk.fm. Of course, you can join our Bloke Talk Appreciation Society, which you'll find on Facebook. Until next week. Weekend. Have a good week.
Listen, and log on to the Voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.